Well, good morning, everybody. Just one quick announcement. There is nursery today, and we have the open. It's the two nurseries, right? The two for the younger kids are open. It's the Quest-Age kids and the 4 to 5s that we do not have. Toddler nursery. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Toddler and nursery are open today. Well, good morning. My name is Scott. If I have not had a chance to meet you, I'd love to do that after a service today. Welcome. Glad you could be here today. Last week, Pastor Ed, the founding pastor of Terra Nova in Troy and Terra Saratoga here, was speaking with us and sharing a little bit about the sabbatical that I'll be heading out on. This is my last sermon before I do that. I've been praying over, God, what is it that you have me to share today? What is it that you have me to speak to your people here in Saratoga? I'm excited about this opportunity to dive into sabbatical, to really lean in to this rest that has been granted me, and I'm so thankful for all of you and your encouraging words and challenges to me as we have kind of been working through this and gearing up for this. I have mixed emotions about it. I'm looking forward to this opportunity. I'm looking forward to leaning in and being strategic and this time, but I also feel burdened for the people of our church here. This thing I do is not just a job for me. It's my passion. It's what I love. I love it. I love opening up the Word with you Sunday. I love walking with you in this life through joys and struggles, and it's going to be different for me after 16 years of ministry. This is my 17th year that I'm working on here, of just taking a break from that to for my own spiritual rest and self-care. It's going to be different for me, and I have mixed emotions about it. I love being here and seeing God work in your lives, and I love the responsibility of standing here each week and talking with you about what God has told us about himself. I love to see this church thriving. And as I talked with Pastor Ed and even Pastor Paul from Massachusetts, as we were planning and working towards this, I just, this overarching feeling and this burden of, well, what's going to happen to this church, these people that I love while I'm away? You know, as a pastor, there's a weight of responsibility for God's people, which is, it's a good thing. This is what you want your pastor to have. The Bible talks about a pastor not having this idea of being a hired hand, but actually really being in this body and caring for the sheep as an under-shepherd of Jesus, who is the head of the church. The scriptures teach that one day the spiritual leaders of the church will answer to God for those he has given them. He will answer for and give account for their souls. This is heavy. This is weighty. It's a big responsibility. It's a beautiful responsibility. It's a beautiful burden. Now, I know a lot of pastors, and sometimes this responsibility has a tendency to lead them into forgetting that they are just under shepherds. That there is this natural slide into thinking we're more irreplaceable and indispensable than we are. It's easy for us to forget at times that Jesus is the head of the church. And the other week, as we shared the sabbatical news with our tribe leaders, I was driving away from that meeting that night. It was snowing. I was driving slow, and just these thoughts were in my head. These burdens were in my head as I was driving away. And I feel like the Lord just gave me a really great comfort and relief. I was driving, and it felt like the Holy Spirit just whispered to me, Scott, these are my people. This is my church. I know what they need, and I know what you need. And it was this comforting reminder that popped into my head while driving down the road that we, as a church, are his. That he loves this church, loves you, loves this body of believers more than I do. That he is the chief shepherd. He is the lead pastor of Terra Nova Saratoga, and every other church that claims his name. He knows better than I what this church needs, both communally, together, and for us individually as this church. He has promised that he will give this church, to give his church, to give churches everywhere, all those who are his, to give us what we need, And we find this truth in the scriptures. Turn with me to chapter 2. Colossians is one of my favorite books. It is written a letter from the Apostle Paul to the churches of Laodicea. This would be churches of Asia Minor all over the place. There were hundreds of churches here that this letter was going to be given to and replicated for. The Apostle Paul, in writing to these churches all over in his letters, he uses many metaphors throughout his letters to describe what the church is like. He describes it in some places as a family, right? And so you'll see where he calls them brothers and sisters, because that is what we are. We are these dispersed people that come from every different walk of life and every different place and every different socioeconomic background, every different race, every different place and geographic location. And we're gathered together. That's what the word church means, the ecclesia, the sacred gathering, right, of those who have heard of Jesus. And God has saved the work of Jesus. He gathers them together and calls them the church. The church is not a building, and it's not a place we come to. The church is God's people. It's all of us. And he describes it as a family, of brothers and sisters. He describes it in some places as a kingdom. And we're going to read about that here in a second. He describes the church as a bride. Where Jesus is the groom, this loving groom who's pursued and chased after this love that he has, and his love is us. And throughout the scriptures, when Paul or the other apostles or authors of the scriptures are talking about the church, they're talking in these terms, like the bride of Christ, the family of God, the kingdom that is to come. We're called sheep in the pasture. This picture comes to mind of this shepherd who is caring for his flock and who would lay down his life for his flock. Where Jesus is the shepherd who's caretaking over this group of sheep that he's taking care of, and he's feeding and providing for sustenance and provision. But one of the most preeminent metaphors used in the New Testament, Paul uses this a lot when he talks about the church. He talks about the church as a body. Right? The body of Christ. We say it all the time, but think about that. Right? This body that has many members, that has arms and hands and feet and legs and internal organs that sometimes I don't even know what they do, but they're important, right? They work together for thriving. It's a beautiful picture. And we read about it here in Colossians 1, and we read that this body has a head, right? What would a body be without a head? Dead, right? The head is this thing that supplies thought and thinking, and it helps run our brain system somehow work. Some of you can explain this better than me. Work to control our bodies and control our digestive systems and the way our muscles work and move and all of these things. It's important. And who is the head of this body, this group of people, this called out assembly, this ecclesia? It's Jesus. And we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Listen to these words. He, this Christ, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to a kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. God has taken this diverse group of people from all different corners of the globe, all different places, all different languages, all different races, all different socioeconomic backgrounds, and he has transferred them from this kingdom that they're born into, this kingdom that the Bible calls slavery to God's enemy, and he transfers them from this kingdom of darkness to this kingdom of light. They're this called out group of people. Verse 15 goes on to say, He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. Okay, so Jesus is the one through whom the world was created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or authorities. Those are all ranks of angels, if you're wondering. So Jesus is the one who created all things. He speaks them all into existence. And what were they created for? All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, in Jesus, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. So this Jesus who speaks the world into existence is the head of the church. He's the chief shepherd. He is the one who through all these things exists for and by. In Colossians chapter 2, turn over one page. Chapter 2, verse 19. Paul goes on to say that we as believers, the church, must hold fast to Jesus. Okay? That we must hold fast to him as our head. It says, verse 19, chapter 2, from whom the whole body, that's all the believers, all the church, nourished and knit together through the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from who? Say it. God. So this body, this head is, this head is nourishing this body and growing this body. And it comes from a growth that is from God. We learn from this that our growth, our health, the health of this body, the growth of this body comes from Christ alone. Not any one pastor, not any one tribe leader, not any one building or program or anything else. Our growth comes through Jesus. He, Jesus, is the one and the only one who is preeminent. Matt spoke about it today. You'll hear this if you are a part of Terra Nova for any length of time. You'll hear this over and over again. We want to be Christocentric in what we do. Everything we do, we aim for, how does this proclaim and show and promote Jesus? From the music we sing, to the messages you hear, to the programs we do, all of it is geared towards, pointing towards, showing the preeminence of Jesus. I mean, a lot of pastors who strategize a whole lot and spend a lot of time working on ways in which they can see their church grow, either numerically or just individually watching their own people grow. And these strategies are important and they're great, but if they're not connected to the head, they're worthless. They're worthless. Because the kind of growth you can get from the kind of the strategies we as men can come up with is not the kind of growth that we want or need. We need to be connected to the head, Jesus, who must be preeminent. How will Jesus grow his church? How will we grow as a church? How do we grow individually and communally together under this head? He shows us how in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to the left in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. This is how Jesus promises to grow his church. The Apostle Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus. He says, and he gave some, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. God has given gifts to this church. He's given gifts to this body, to this ecclesia, to this called out assembly. And he's equipped it to build itself up, to see it grow to maturity, to strength, to be strengthened for its thriving. And God equips each part of this body with gifts to bless the body, to grow. What we learn from the scriptures is that we as a church are all part of this body of Christ, and he is the head. That God has provided what this body needs to grow by giving gifts to the body. When each part of that body, each part of that church is functioning, the body thrives, right? What happens in your own body when something's not functioning? You take a trip to the doctor, right? They do a CAT scan. They try to figure out what's going on. They do x-rays, what's broken, what's not working. Why is it that this is happening? We realize that there's something wrong. We're not thriving. Something's not working right. A body that's thriving is working together, and each part is helping support and create life and thriving in that body. And what we learn from the scriptures here is that each member of this body, each person, each individual who is here in this church, who is a part of this church, who belongs to Jesus and gathers here together, has been given a gift to play a part in this thriving. You are a part of this body. Each one of you has been given a part to play in this thriving. Each one of you has been given gifts that make this body work. And we see this most clearly in the last scripture we're going to look at today, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So turn to the left again. Again, this is the Apostle Paul as he speaks to this church in Corinth. This church in Corinth was messed up. They weren't thriving. They weren't growing. It was failure to thrive. Something was wrong with this body that was not functioning the way it was supposed to function, and it was broken in some way. It needed fixing, it needed healing, right? There's certain people in this church who thought themselves more important because of their gifts and abilities that they brought to the table when it came to church, while others were feeling left out, like they didn't matter, like their gifts weren't important. And what Paul is doing here, he's communicating to them and saying, hold on a second, that's not how this works. Look at what he says to them in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Okay, so Paul is taking this concept of the church and trying to explain it to these people in a way they can grasp and understand. And he says, it's like a body. A body is one, but it has many parts. There's many things and organs and tissues and ligaments and joints that make it function well. And what he is going to do here is say all these are important. Verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. This body is made up of people from everywhere, every walk of life, as I said, every socioeconomic background, different political ideologies. What brings this body together, what binds this body together is Jesus, the head. No other place can you find such a diverse group of people who walk under the same banner as in the church of Jesus when it's thriving well. For one spirit baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, and free, were all made to drink of the same spirit. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the body were the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, then where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You ever stub a toe and be out of work for a week? That ever happened to you? Where you couldn't walk because of something small was broken that you didn't even think about until you realized that you needed it? Verse 23, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor, and our presentable parts to be treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. What we learn from this is we are one body. We are here to work together to serve one another in the ways in which God has uniquely designed us. There's no one here by accident. There was no one here who has not been divinely appointed to be a part of this ecclesia, this body, because there's something that you bring to the table that no one else does. There's a gift that you have been given that no one else has here. There is a way for you to serve that no one else can serve in that way, because that is your role. That is your place within the body. And it's important as any other piece. It's a beautiful truth. We are all unique, but we are not independent. We all have a part to play. But our part is not so that we can exercise our gift to serve ourselves. It's to exercise our gifts to serve one another. And in that way, we are all served. In that way, the body thrives. And man, there is nothing like it when the body is thriving. Have you ever woken up one morning and just felt good? Everything was functioning. None of your joints hurt. It's been a while for me. I hurt myself sleeping now. I'm getting older. I wake up and I'm like, I don't know what I did, but I can't move my right side. But do you ever have those moments in those days where you wake up and you just feel good? Everything seems to be working right. Everything's just, I could run a marathon today. You have that feeling like there's nothing like it when the body is thriving. In the same way, there is nothing like it in the whole world when the church is thriving, when the body of Christ is working the way it should be. It is a beautiful, miraculous thing, especially when you look at the kind of people that compose of it, right? We are broken people from all different backgrounds, all different places that come together in such a way that it's divine. And it's only by the power of God that can happen. Where people from different backgrounds can come together and love one another and serve one another in ways that I've never seen that before. In any other place, the body of Christ is like this. Each one of you, each one of us who belongs to Jesus have a place within this body, a unique way in which we are to serve it. Each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has been given a gift of God for the church to serve it. When one of us goes missing, when one of us needs rest, the other parts of the body compensate and grow stronger so that the work of the body continues, so the body can thrive. So the body can work well together and go on with its mission and what it's supposed to do. Today is going to be my last Sunday with you for many months. And as I said, in getting ready for this, I spent much time praying and asking God, what is it that you have for me to share? What do you have for the people of Terra Nova Saratoga? What message would you have me leave with them? What challenge, what charge should I give on as I go? And here it is. This is the charge I would give you. This is my pastoral prayer for you as I step away for a few weeks. That while I'm gone, that this church, this body, this called out assembly could thrive in the ways that God has called it to thrive. That the mission that we have to go and make more and better disciples of Jesus would go on without a hitch, because it's connected to the head, Jesus, who is preeminent. Jesus who supplies everything it needs and is its ultimate power and function. That each of you would use the gifts and the capacities and your unique mission that God has placed you here to complete it and run it well. Not for your own good, but for the good of the body. This is my prayer. Pastor Ed said it last week. He said, after he called me a Labrador Retriever, I don't know if you heard that part. It could be worse. Labrador Retrievers are dumb and happy, so I'll take that. He used this illustration of this tree that gets taken out of the forest, and when that happens, the sun is able to come in, and the saplings that are able to thrive because they're able to get what they need. And I love that picture and image. And my hope is as I step away and as I take this time of rest and Sabbath, that many of you will get to experience the power of God in your lives using the gifts that he has given you for the glory of God and the good of this church in ways that you have never seen before. That this place could thrive in the mission that God has called it to. That is what God has promised. And that, for me, is a great comfort. In walking away and stepping away for a time, that he is going to do what he promised he was going to do. That he is going to use you, your gifts, your unique abilities and giftings that he has given you to serve the body in ways that maybe you've never even dreamed about. Well, that's my prayer for you. In addition to the gifts that God has given us through Jesus, God's gift to the church is his people and the gifts that he has given them. It's you. And you are needed for a time as this. So this is my encouragement. Jump in. Dive in to serve this body in the unique capacity that God has given you and the part that he has designed you to play. Because if it's true that God knows what this church needs, and that he has given everything it requires, then no one can sit on the sidelines. No one can be an observer. We all have to be participants in this. To serve one another and love one another, for this body to thrive and this body to function well. Friends, it is one of my greatest joys to be one of your pastors. It is an honor to walk this life with people like you. To stand beside you in your joys, in your sorrows, in your victories, and the shared brokenness that we all have as we strive to follow Jesus, I love it. I love being a part of this body. I can tell you, like, I have never felt more cared for and loved, especially in this season that God has me in walking into this Sabbath than I do right now. And I thank you for that. I so appreciate that. But my pastoral prayer for you as a church is that in this season we see the body of Christ here in Terra Nova Saratoga thrive like never before because of what Jesus provides and what he does. And as I begin my sabbatical, the part that God has given me to play here will be missing. But just as our own bodies, when our members are hurt or healing, other parts of the body step up to compensate and fill the gap and to share the burden so the body can go on and become even stronger. That's the same thing that is going to happen here. I am so thankful to be able to pastor with a man like Pastor Daniel. He has become one of my closest friends and counselors and confidants over the last few years. I'm going to ask him to come forward. And Leah, you're here too. Would you come? We're going to spend some time this morning as we close just praying over this couple. I want to say some things about Pastor Daniel. He'll probably be embarrassed, but this man loves you. This man fervently serves and cares for you. I see it behind the scenes when no one's looking. He's serving you guys and loving you faithfully and well. And Leah, your support and your part in this, the two are one. Thank you for what you do for this church. Over the next few months, he's going to be stepping up to preach and teach, and he's going to carry a heavy load. He'll be bearing a huge burden. And I'm going to tell you, this can be overwhelming at times. It can be isolating at times. There'll be a target on his back from an enemy that hates to see the body thrive. And so I'm going to ask that we pray for him. I'm going to ask that you pray for him faithfully and fervently as he serves you. And I would like to close this time just praying. I've asked a few people to come and pray over him today. And so would you come and we will pray over you this morning and kind of launch you out on this season of your life, which is going to be hectic and busy. But I know that the Lord will provide all that you need. So,
check.
Anywhere you like.
Well, Lord God, we're just, we're so thankful for the grace that we've experienced through Pastor Daniel and through Leah's service in our church and their love that they've shown to us over the years. Lord, I know in my own life I've experienced this very deeply, a deep friendship rooted in your spirit, Lord, in your work in our lives. So, God, we pray that you would richly bless Daniel and their family with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for a richness in your word, a richness of relationship with you, so that they might be refreshed and know you in the power of your spirit in their lives, in their marriage, in their family, Lord, so that that might overflow into the church and into the relationships we have together as a body. And God, I pray for your grace, Lord, when Pastor Daniel feels weak and feels overwhelmed, Lord, I pray that you would meet him and give him the grace to carry on. And I pray that you would, Lord, just empower him with your Holy Spirit to do this work in this time while Pastor Scott steps away. In Jesus' name.
Lord, search our hearts now and help us to know if we have your full pleasure and have been a faithful flock to these shepherds. Are we soft brushes in your hands? Thank you for appointing and calling and giving them to us as your messengers and your protectors and prayer warriors on our behalf. Daily remind us, Lord, that you handpicked them. You handpicked Scott and Heather and Daniel and Leah to guide us according to your perfect holy will for such a time as this in this community. Forgive us, Lord. We are sheep that are prone to wander. We forget that they are fighting for us and they're sacrificing for us on our behalf daily, weekly, and annually. We are often selfish and prayerless and autonomous and neglecting their requests and serving ourselves more than this body. Lord, but you're quick to forgive us, and we love you, and we desire to change continually. Help us, we pray, to listen more deeply and to love you more perfectly by loving them more fully. We now ask that you would continue to speak clearly to them, words of encouragement and correction for us, that they will not doubt and they will not waver in leading us well. We ask that you would continue to support them with legions of angels for all of the human difficult tasks that lie ahead. And we ask that you would purify their hearts and ignite holy fire within so that they can stir us and that we leap to our feet as ambassadors and as your hands and feet. We ask that you would continue to provide for all of their needs, especially, Lord, your intimate presence always, and for your grace and for your mercy. Most importantly, Lord, we ask that you give them the desire of their hearts, that altogether we would be a changed people and instruments in your hands to help others who are also in need of change, and that we would be known as a church that loves people, knows people, and speaks truth into other people's lives. Thank you, Lord, that our shepherds exemplify humility, honesty, and thoughtfulness, and joy in serving, and that they are a conduit of grace to others. If there's time, I wanted to read something from Daniel's favorite book.
Sure.
Okay. It's Instrument in the Redeemer's Hands. God is painting his grace on the canvas of human souls. One day we will stand with him in glory and see that canvas completed, and we won't be able to do anything but worship. What is our part in all of this? We are God's brushes. He wants to soak us on the palette of his grace and paint more of his goodness on yet another soul. The question is, Are we soft brushes in his hands? A hard and dried out brush doesn't pick up the paint well, and it mars the surface it was meant to beautify. A soft brush in the hands of a redeemer will continue to paint until his canvas is complete.
Thank you. Father God, we thank you for this couple. Thank you for their service to you. God, I want to lift up Pastor Daniel specifically to you in this next few months as he labors under the word, striving to preach and teach and make Jesus great and proclaim him prominently in this place. Protect him, we pray. Give him strength, we pray. As he leads this flock, as he cares for your people, as he serves the body, give him strength to do those things that he cannot do on his own. And God, I pray for all of us as a church, as you use this time in our lives to help us grow, that you've given us gifts in order to build each other up. I pray that we would do that. I would pray that we would see you, your glory in this. That God, in this time, we see you move in ways that we would have never imagined you would do for your goodness and your glory and your namesake. And God, that we could, on the other end, see the things that you have accomplished and just give you praise and glory for them. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for calling us out from the domain of darkness. I thank you for making us into your kingdom people and making us into a family. Thank you for sustaining us and providing for us as a part of your body. And God, I just pray that we would get to see that body thrive and that you would move in ways that we can't even imagine or even dream about in this next few months. And God, we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is preeminent.